Whenever you have occasion to send a Comar card, we'll best express your fortune. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage in the radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Separated from those she loves best.
Sandra Nott Williams of the American Press Syndicate. She'd like to do a story about you. I understand you're on your way to Hollywood to make a good part.
That's right, Mr. Reed.
Seems to me you're quite an active woman. Lakeview Mother, Children's Recreation Center, the Street Stage Radio. Is there anything you haven't got your finger in, Mrs.
Greenwood has as a special guest for today, Miss Agnes Moorhead and Mr. Lionel Sanders. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday,
this time,
by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words. A Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget. A Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now for the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. Aunt Charlotte is arriving in Chicago on her way to Hollywood to make a picture for 20th Century Fox. As she boards the train, she's being swamped by reporters.
Before the train goes, will you hold close for just one more picture, Miss Greenwood?
Hello?
Thank you. Miss Greenwood, are the hotels still crowded in Hollywood?
I guess so. I read there are 7 sergeants kept in 1 room, all in the same bed.
7 sergeants in 1 bed?
I
wonder, did they sleep well?
I imagine only the top sergeant.
Is it true they once wanted to put your leg prints in front of Brahma Chinese Theater?
That's true.
They would have been the most attractive legs in that section of the sidewalk.
Well, who else's legs were there?
Roy Rogers and his horse.
Miss Greenwood, just one more question. Isn't your picture on the wall of the Brown Derby?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I didn't see it there.
Well, it's on the back wall, hanging at eye level.
Last time I was there, I was near the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. You have your eye level, I have mine.
I would sure appreciate you giving us this interview, Miss Greenwood, if we try to get some information out of your secretary.
Oh, she's a tyrant.
Bema Parker? She's a darling when you get to know her.
How do you get to know her when you can't even get near her?
What did she do about that, sir?
Why? She sounded like a sergeant in a dog corps.
Pardon me, Miss Greenwood. I'm Sarah Hammer. Oh, of course. Hello, Sarah. I remember you. Photoplay magazine.
Right.
You've been on the market for years. So have I. Porter, where is
Roy Mean, please? Roger's waiting. The old secretary's waiting in there for
him. Yes, I know.
Hey, what's wrong, Mrs. Greenwood?
Oh, Bema, darling. Oh, I am so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to see you, too. Let me take your things, Miss Greenwood.
Miss Greenwood, oh, the same old Bema right back on the job again.
Oh, Porter, we need 2 more towels, an extra pillow, a pitcher of ice water, a table. Bring us all the newspapers whenever the train stops and make up our beds at 9:30.
A.M. or P.M. That'll be all, Porter.
There you go.
Now, you old fidget there, defrost, will you? Defrost.
Oh, sure, I will.
Oh, it's good to see you, you long, lanky stranger.
Well, I saw in business and in public, I'm your secretary, and I'll act like one. But at home, we're just old friends.
Mm-hmm. I thought we'd settled that years and years ago.
Oh, Bema, stop bringing up the call.
Why?
Oh, there's so much of it.
Oh, now, listen, Charles, stop talking nonsense, and let me get a good look at you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you sure look well.
Disappointed? But an actor finds herself away in a little town to take care of 2 children and comes out of it looking the way you do, I have a right to be disappointed.
It's just couldn't happen.
Well, it did.
Man, he sent all the lovely flowers.
Oh, Roger's still on them.
Oh, Roger Hunter. Oh, he's put them there.
Oh, and Gina Lure from the Lakeview Mother's Club.
Mother's Club?
I'm the president.
President of the Mother's Club, Miss Greenwood?
Mm-hmm. taking off your hat and coat.
Well, it's time to get off. Say, are you holding out on me, or didn't I get any wires?
No, not yet. I've been expecting one from the studio.
Well, I've been expecting one from my children.
Your children?
My children. Robert, Barbara, and Jack. You might as well face it.
Oh, must I?
Oh.
Well, good heavens.
Good heavens. What have you got on?
Oh, don't tell me it's an apron. You look like an overloaded Christmas tree.
Oh, am I branching out in the wrong places?
Oh, it looks certainly decorated. What do you mean by wearing blue beads, a green chin, and a red pocket handkerchief?
They're going away gifts to my children. Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah, maybe they are individually, but you can't. You simply cannot wear them together. They just don't blend.
What they stand for is a good enough blend for me. They express the affection and devotion of three wonderful children, and I intend to wear them all the time.
Well, that's your business, but it's my business to see that for the next few weeks you act like a woman with a career,
mm-hmm.
a star. And for the moment, you're not an active member of the Lake View Mothers Club.
Dina, that idea of a star is old-fashioned. Stars are people, and people are what they are. And I like the Mothers Club.
Yes, of course you do, dear. Of course you do.
Why don't you stretch out on the couch and relax? I want to talk. I don't want to relax. But I'll lie down. Oh, Dina. I like Lake View, and I like everybody in it.
Yes, but I'm sure it's a lovely place. I'll put these pillows under your head.
Oh, and I love my children.
Well, I love them, too, right where they are. Now, put your feet up here, dear.
Yes. Oh, well, just as soon as I finish making a picture in Hollywood, I'm flying right back to them.
Yes, of course you are. Of course you are. Now close your eyes, little skin being.
Three of the moon. Wonderful children in the world.
Oh, it's a good long night.
Oh, Charlotte! Oh, Charlotte! Father, where's that
Charlotte? Here I am, dear.
Hey, Charlotte, please. You don't stay in this afternoon and do my homework and sit up playing football with a kid.
What?
What,
Robert, you can do whatever you want.
I don't want to do whatever I want. I want to stay home and do my arithmetic.
Please, Aunt Charlotte, don't make him go out and play.
All right, Barbara.
Hey, Charlotte, you go out and play football with a kid.
Me?
That's the person that Aunt Charlotte plays.
The goalpost.
Robert, don't you want me to help you with your arithmetic?
Oh, I'll help him. But first, I've got to vacuum the rugs and darn Jack's socks and wash the dishes.
I wash the dishes.
Oh, you always wash them. Why don't you give me a chance?
So you're a girl.
Aunt Charlotte, when you were a girl,
what do you mean, when I was a girl? I am a girl.
What?
Well, as long as I'm dreaming, I might as well make it good.
Boys never give a girl a chance to do anything. I suppose when Jack comes in from raking the leaves, he'll want to do the dishes, too. Well, I won't let him. And I won't let you do them either, Robert.
Oh, Charlotte, don't let me do the dishes.
Charlotte!
Oh, what is it? I'm sorry that mightn't disturb you, Charlotte. You had a wonderful night and you were dreaming.
Oh, I had a wonderful dream.
I'm coming. It's probably the telegram I've been waiting for from the studio.
No, I'm expecting one from the children.
What in the world?
There's a blank piece of paper.
Why, you young whippersnapper waking up Miss Greenwood when she...
Well, hello, son. You having fun playing telegraph, boy?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, young fella, come here.
Can I come in a minute?
Well, I think somebody's calling you.
I know what I'd like to call him.
Now, listen, young fella, listen to me. You can't go around knocking on people's doors.
Ah, the conductor is only playing.
No, playing. Give me that pad of telegram blank.
I see you.
Conductor, yes, sir. I made 3 trips to the club car looking for a pair of telegraph blanks, and I couldn't find any.
Well, I'm very sorry, sir, but this lad took them.
Oh, you again?
Yeah.
Then it's a wonder I even found the club car.
Have you taken the telegram blanks before?
Of course, or I wouldn't have been in a state of agitation.
Well, surely there are other pads on the train.
There are, mister. This young fellow takes them as fast as we put them out.
Oh, now that isn't very nice, son.
That is my condemnation. He's an odious nuisance.
I am not.
He's positively destructive.
That's an understatement.
You're both exaggerating.
Lady, if that brat falls out of his berth tonight, I'll let him survive the train blows up.
When children say they're realistic.
Well, I'm realistic, too, and I don't want to be annoyed by your style. Good day.
my child.
Oh, Lorene, will you come up that nonsense? This boy is your son.
What's the matter with me?
Well, you've got an overdeveloped interest in telegraph lines.
Now, listen, son. If you're big enough to travel alone, you ought to know how to behave.
Well, if he's traveling alone, well, let him sit in here with us. Unless, son, if you prefer to be alone.
I would not.
You see, Dima, who cares? If he doesn't want to be alone, well, that's sad.
That's crazy.
That's mighty kind of you, Miss Greenwood. I'll stop by later.
Charlotte, you know, you simply got to study your script.
I will in just a minute. Son, would you like to sit down?
No.
Dina, he said no.
Oh, that's fair enough.
What is your name?
Harold Watson Jr.
That's your name?
No, it isn't. It's a tricky name.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. How old are you?
Do you ask dumb questions?
Oh, little, you got your life up into this.
Well, I think he knows that that answer was rude.
Yeah, it was.
I'm rude. That's why they're sending me to military school.
They mean
my mother and father. I need military training.
A military breast would get us the seat of the trouble.
The schools didn't want to put me, but my father made them. He can get anything he wants.
In your case, he didn't want what he got.
My father's a big shot. Everybody says he is, so I guess he is. Hey, let's play.
Now, that young man, her name is not Hay. It's Miss Greenwood. It's Miss Charlotte Greenwood.
Hiya, Greenie.
Okay, Watson.
Watson, really?
Come on, Greenie, let's play telegraph.
All right.
Well, how do you want to play it?
You give me an envelope and I'll teach you.
Well, but I know a better one. Let's say going out.
Going out?
And I'll be the door and you slam me.
Seems a little tame for
Harold. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Hey, that's good.
See, I've got another one. Let's play Jackson Boy.
Right.
You'll be the two fine.
I'm following your equipment.
Oh, well.
And he's just the one who can do it.
Gosh, Greenie, what's that?
Well, after being tasted, slammed, and clipped, I ought to be flat.
Oh, give him time, and you will be.
Oh, come in. Yes, Porter?
Got a telegram from Mr. Harold Watson, Jr., ma'am.
He will. Come on, Jimmy.
Here you
are. Well, Watson, you look more like you're going to eat that telegram than read it.
Oh, boy. Maybe it's from my mom or my pop. From Uncle Horace in California. Look, Greenie, read it.
It says, meet you at the station Wednesday morning. Try to arrive in one piece. Uncle Horace.
He's corny.
He doesn't regard your arrival as a blessed event.
You know what? I'm going to wire my Uncle a mansion. Then I'll be right back.
Make it a good long wire.
Oh, be seeing you, Judy. So long, Sourfoot.
Sourfoot? Oh, now, Charlotte, that is inexcusable.
Dima,
that boy is softless. He wouldn't get a crumb from me.
Oh, now, you
can't be offended at a child.
Well, he's not a child. He's a thief.
His whole attitude is a defensive mechanism.
Oh, well, whatever you call it, he's still a fiend, and you're not going to be seen with him again. I won't have the whole train thinking he's your child.
Oh, man, jump to conclusions. That doesn't make the whole train.
Well, look again if it's on the whole train.
Why should he?
Why shouldn't he? Why? Oh, if it's that Watson boy back again, I'm not going to let him in.
Well, I will.
Miss Greenwood, I'd like to send a telegram.
What, again?
The blanks are missing from the club car.
Again?
They were taken by one of three persons.
Oh, which three?
That young scamp, that little fool, or that Indiana West. In other words, that triple threat child of yours.
For your information, that child does not belong to Miss Greenwood.
That's a good line, but don't try to pull it on Bernard J. Reed. Good day.
Bernard J. Reed? That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear of the American Press Syndicate?
Oh, good grief, you mean
he's Mr. Syndicate himself?
Oh, I knew he said he wouldn't tell the whole train.
No, he'll just tell the whole country.
Someone you know whom you consider charming. Isn't it largely because that person always seems genuinely interested in you, in your doings? Yes, thoughtfulness of others is one of the secrets of charm. And you'll never seem more charming to your friends than when you're mindful of the occasions that have special meaning for them. To remember them on any occasion send an appropriate card, such as you'll find at your Hallmark dealers. There are scores of original birthday cards, some warmly worded, others with gay, humorous greetings. You can choose a handsome wedding card for congratulating that new bride and groom, or select several distinctive anniversary cards for those special married couples you've always liked to remember. If some friend is ill, you won't want to neglect him above all. Wish him well with a Hallmark Cure card. It's a sure cure for those hospital blues. Remember, there's always a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So choose yours from your Hallmark dealer's wide selection this week. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. You see, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Back to the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. Accompanied by Dee MacArthur, his secretary and friend, Aunt Charlotte is on her way to Hollywood to make a picture. On the train, she's become involved in a feud between an unmanageable boy and an irritable newspaper man who thinks Charlotte is the boy's mother. It's 11 o'clock at night. Dee MacArthur.
I know you're cutting your script, but I must tell you, Carl, I don't like the way you've got yourself mixed up with that frightening walking style. Still, I must admit you've got away with little boys.
But when they grow up, they grow out of it.
Well, one thing is that Mr. Reed never grew into it, and I'm going to make a clue to him that Watson isn't your son.
Oh, you'll find out soon enough.
It can't be too soon. You've got to be careful, Charles. He's head of a syndicate, and you're a great newspaper copy. Your personality is so colorful.
But my figure is so monotonous.
You don't seem to be concerned about anything.
I'm concerned about not hearing from my children. They promised there'd be a wire at Kansas City.
No, it may have missed the train there. You'll probably get it at Albuquerque.
I hope so. Maybe that's it now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the conductor.
I'm sorry to disturb you. It's Miss Greenwood I want.
Beautiful words.
Greenwood, have you ever answered to the name of Greenie?
Oh, is Harold Watson in a predicament again?
He's not in a predicament. He's causing one.
Oh, naturally.
There.
Oh,
you hear that?
Yes, I do.
That's him and his cornet. He's in his roulette at the end of this car. None of the passengers have been able to sleep. I don't know what to do about it.
Well, it's very simple. Take the cornet away from him.
He's locked himself in this Greenie.
Oh.
I've tried to reason with him, but it's just no use.
Won't he answer you?
He has two answers. One is go jump in the lake, and the other is go get Greenie.
And Greenie is a homeless. Oh, like you're Greenie.
Would you come with us, Miss
Greenie? Yeah, of course I will, conductor.
Oh, now, Charlotte, I'll be right back. Back, indeed. I'll be right behind you. Come on, let's go. I do hope Mr. Reeves doesn't care about this.
Well, he is. His drawing room isn't in this car.
Oh, well, that's a comfort.
Look at all these people out trying to see their way. This is terrible.
It's an outrage.
Oh, and Mr. Reeves.
There's an obvious difference between him and Harry Graham.
Yes. There's a more obvious difference between me and Betty Grable.
Oh, Mr. Reeves, I'm so glad you called.
Why shouldn't you, John? It's up late.
Oh, Mr. Reeves, you're not going to come to this house. No,
I understand one thing. I've been greatly inconvenienced by that delinquent.
But I understood your drawing room was not in this car.
Exactly, Mr. Reeves. My drawing room is not in this car, but my dainty, my heartache. It happens to be right in that room next. With that repulsive cornet virtuoso.
What's a hawk for?
He'll put on his cornet in order to give it that drive, sir.
If I were that boy's father, I know what I'd tell him.
Well, you know what he'd answer you.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what I mean. Open that door, give me my hat. Young man, when I get my hands on you, I'll show you what I'll do.
Mr. Reeves, please, I may be able to handle him.
No doubt you can. After all, you're bigger than I am.
Watson! Watson!
Hey, is that you, Greeny? Is it?
Well, open the door and see for yourself.
Oh, well, well, well.
I can do a lot of things. It's for you, Miss Greenwood. I want you to keep that loathsome brat out of my way.
Now,
Mr. Reed,
this child is a stranger to Miss Greenwood.
As far as I'm concerned, he's a stranger to the human race.
Quiet, strong voice, or
let the cornet
around your ears.
Don't throw that cornet.
Well, okay, I won't. But I don't like the way he talks to you.
Miss Greenwood, for a child who's supposed to be a stranger, his devotion is quite unusual.
Even more unusual for a child who's supposed to be a brat. Mr. Reed, you must listen to us.
My dear woman, I must do
nothing. Oh, you're entirely to blame for this, Charlotte.
Oh,
no right to jeopardize your career for a bothersome little boy who doesn't mean a thing.
You know, he's a great deal, and every individual does. And if he asks me for my hand, I'm going to give him my hand. Now, let's call it a day.
A day? It's been a century.
Oh, it seems wrong. And thanks for protecting me. It was a little on the violent side, but I appreciate it. Watson, have you got a handkerchief?
Yeah.
Well, then use it. Oh.
Maybe I'm catching a cold.
You're crying, and there's no maybe about it.
That man is awful mad at you. And so, of course, he's mad at you, too.
This Parker's too nice to be really angry.
Well, he's mad at me. He says it was my fault. But I didn't mean it. Honest, I didn't.
Of course you didn't. But you did know that blowing that cornet would raise a row. Now, why did you do it?
And so what?
Yeah.
I always make a lot of noise when I'm alone.
Oh, you do?
Hey, Green, are you ever afraid when you're all alone with nothing but your shadow following you?
Well, that's all that ever does follow me. Son, when you play these games, who do you most pretend to be?
Oh, I like the Long Ranger.
Oh, well, do you think he's afraid to be alone?
God, Timmy, anybody'd know better than that, God.
Yes, well, then why should you be?
What?
Why, the Lone Ranger never did anything braver than you did tonight.
Because I played my cornet?
No, because you protected a lady. It was a bit rough, but your desire was right.
You mean I'm as good as the Lone Ranger?
Why, if you had a horse, you might even be better.
You mean then that I shouldn't be afraid? Even in a room all by yourself?
Watson, you don't have to be locked in a room to be alone. I've been in large cities and crowded rooms and theaters filled to capacity, and yet I felt alone.
Weren't you scared?
No, Hal. People can't really be alone. It's just because they've forgotten the whole world belongs to them. Look out that window. See the moon and those white clouds rolling along in the wind and the stars shining in the sky?
Yeah, sure, Tim.
Yeah. They belong to whoever looks at them. They belong to you.
Gosh, I never thought of it like that.
That's it, Hal. Being alone isn't something to be afraid of. It gives you a chance to think.
Suppose I did something bad, like tonight.
Yeah, think about the good things you did, like defending me. The more good you think, the more good you'll do. And you'll find yourself a very pleasant fellow to be with.
Will you like me better then?
I will. And everybody will like you better.
Yes, me.
Okay, Watson.
Watson, I'll finish your breakfast. We're getting into Albuquerque. You want to see the Indian?
Real live Indian?
Mm-hmm.
The time will go.
Watson, if that conductor hears you, he'll put you in the caboose, my little papoose.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Greenwood. And you too, young man.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Reed.
And mind if I join you for breakfast?
Not at all.
Mr. Greenwood, last night I found the telegram here.
You don't seem very happy about it.
I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And if this boy's name is Harold Watson Jr., I shall be unhappy.
Yeah, sure, that's my name. So what?
And if his uncle's name is Horace Watson, I shall be completely miserable.
Sure, he's my uncle.
Couldn't be worse.
What's that, my dear?
Miss Greenwood, Horace Watson happens to be a very important writer, and I'm on my way to Hollywood to persuade him to write for my syndicate.
I certainly wish you luck, Mr. Reed.
I'll certainly need it, Miss Jean. Young man, did you send this wire? Dear Uncle Horace, am having a swell time, met a nice lady and a crabby old man.
Watson, Mr. Reed isn't an old man.
Yeah.
Jimmy! I forgot the center. Come on, Jimmy. Good morning,
Dima.
Good morning.
Just seeing what I feel to you, not to let that voice on
that telephone. Well, that isn't nearly as important as having Watson saying she's in person of you.
That's the way they thought, but I'm not a magician.
Well, you don't have to be. Dima, I promised to show the Indians to Watson.
It'd make more sense if you showed Watson to the Indians.
Indians are very interesting, and I have a feeling that Mr. Reeves knows quite a bit about them.
I do? Oh, well, I mean, I do. Why, the Pueblos are a Yuppie. Very interesting people. Come along, son.
Hey, Greedy, aren't you coming?
No, Watson. If the Indians got a look at me, they'd think I'm their long-lost totem pole. And besides, I want to stay here. Maybe I'll get my telegram.
Oh, a telegram? Uh-huh. Oh, Greedy, this is for you. It came yesterday, and I told the conductor I'd give it to you.
Oh, but you didn't?
No. I'm awful sorry.
Oh, that telegram to me. That must be the one from Ophelia I've been waiting for.
I've been waiting for one from Barbara.
Oh, I thought it was important.
Oh, it is important. It's wonderful. Listen to what she says. Dear Aunt Charlotte, hope you are having a wonderful trip. Everything here is fine. We miss you. Robert has a big surprise for you. And I really shouldn't tell you, but Jack and I are so proud of him.
What are you laughing at? What's the surprise?
Robert is learning to play the cornet.
Donna Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying word, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you've cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, there's a clock upon a steeple in a certain town I know that was made and started ticking, oh, a century ago. And through storm and gale and thunder, under sunny skies and gray, to each person who looks upward, it has told the town of day. For although its face is faded and its hands show weather scars, it has kept its old heart faithful to the movement of God's stars. And it seems to me it's saying, do the work for which you're made. Though the lightning strikes about you, let your heart be unafraid. Make your hands be ever faithful to the task that must be done. Let your face be just as friendly under dark skies as in sun. Every hour and every minute, to God's scheme of things be true. And you'll find that those around you will be looking upward, too. And now, until next Sunday, at the very same time, Mrs. Charlotte Greenwood saying,
hold on, hold on, till we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'm your friend.
So long.
This is Wendell Niles speaking. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show brings to you from Hollywood. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show is written by Sylvia Thalberg and Hyal Jackson. Jackson's forehead appears in the courtesy of Metro Golden Mare, one of the stars of our Vines have tender grace. Thank you.